If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 to 20. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found the way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which they had been told about this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things, which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. It was nice to have the school carolers singing before our concert some of the Christmas carols. I went to a concert at the Danforth this week with Alice Hodges and Ray Snyder. And through most of the program, it was all about jingle bells and we wish you a Merry Christmas and that type of music. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, when are we going to get to the real meaning of Christmas? So I waited and I waited. And at the very end, they had a time for favorites. And all the folks who were there did the real Christmas hymns, I guess I should say, real Christmas carols. You know, as we sang about the birth of Jesus. And I was happy to see, and I talked to the pianist after it was over. She knew all of the hymns by heart. For all of the other ones, she was flipping through her book to try to find the right music, and I thought, she's got it in her heart. And I was glad to see that. Scientist J. Robert Oppenheimer said the best way to send an idea is to wrap it up in a person. And we know that Jesus came, he was Emmanuel, God with us. He came carrying the very person of God in his presence. So we have in the Christmas story, the shepherds who came to Jesus. But Jesus came, royalty clothed in rags, majesty emerging in the midst of the mundane, eternity stepping into time. The greatest event in the history of the world, witnessed by a few shepherds. The shepherds were the first ones to hear the Christmas message. The shepherds were the first believers in the Christmas message. The shepherds were the first preachers of the Christmas message. The shepherds had quite a reputation in Jesus' day. The Bible Almanac says shepherds were distrusted in Jesus' days as being a wild bunch. This rural nomadic folk, James Boyce said, were a despised class in the first century. Also, they were considered unreliable and therefore were not even allowed to give testimony in the law courts. It's interesting that God chose everyday people to share this message with. Joseph's time, every shepherd, he told his brothers, is an abomination to the Egyptians. But the first mention of a profession in the Bible tells us that Abel was a keeper of sheep. Jesus was called the Good Shepherd who would give his life for his sheep. He would leave the 99 to search for the one lost sheep. And we're reminded every once in a while on Facebook that Jesus leaving 99 to find one seems crazy until you are that one. Thank the Lord he came to seek us out. Could there have been a better group of people for God to reveal his son's birth to than the shepherds? This was a classic from worst to first. He would be the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, John the Baptist declared in John 1:29. That one lamb died for one man in the book of Genesis. In the book of Exodus, one lamb died for one family. In the book of Leviticus, one lamb would die for the sins of the nation on the Day of Atonement. And then when Jesus came, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." Their first reaction was reverent fear, but this was only a passing fear, like a mist that would quickly evaporate in the winds of joy. And that joy, it says, was for all people, even lowly shepherds. That good news is for all of us this morning. No matter who we are, no matter what we do. Jesus announced Jesus with three titles. He said that he is Jesus, Savior. He will save their people from their sins. That he is the Christ, the one who would fulfill God's promise of a king to David. And that he is Lord, divinity in the flesh. He is the healing one. He is the forgiving one. And he is the saving one. In verse 12, it says, "You will find a baby," not Mary or Joseph, not the cute animals in the stable. The focus was to be on Jesus. Martin Luther said the mystery of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond our understanding. I talked to an agnostic one time, back I think in the 70s, and he said, we were outside, and he said, "I just can't believe that a God that might be compared to us as humans would be interested in the ants that are crawling along on the ground." And I said, until we could become an ant, we wouldn't be able to understand. But God became one of us so that we could understand who he is. Sometimes people hold on to the smell of a certain person they've lost. We've talked and prayed this morning for people who have lost family members this year. The sense of smell brings strong memories. Sometimes I'm able to smell something that reminds me of my dad. This year I made korv, which is a Swedish Christmas sausage. The smell of the korv cooking brings to mind all of the Christmas eves spent with my mom's family when I was a child. There was something about the smell of Jesus that brings us into the presence of God. One of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. We may not be able to smell it, but as Christians, we carry the smell of God. People know it when they smell it. Some find it attractive. Some find it repugnant. We read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul wrote, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity. But as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." Smells mean different things to different people. You feel nothing when you might smell the combination of different meats mixed with potato, nutmeg, and allspice. I smell family. I smell Christmas. It's the same with the smell of the believer. Some people smell in your presence the presence of God. You could ask, why do some people not like Christians? Because they smell the presence of death. That night in Bethlehem, the shepherds experienced the angels proclaiming the glory of God. And what a presentation it must have been. How the angels prepared for that night, the night that Jesus would be born. We're in the choir, we know of the preparation that it takes to sing a concert. 26 tractor trailer trucks. That's what it takes to move all of the equipment used for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra to put on a concert. 26 tractor trailer trucks. But they would be dwarfed by the chorus of angels who appeared to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And one of my deacons in one of my churches, one of his pet peeves was that we talk about the angels singing. He said, "It always says in the Bible that the angels said. Why do you say that the angels sing?" And I said, "Well, they're singing, they're saying sounds to us like singing." I can't imagine Christmas without the music. Well, it had been a long time since the Israelites had experienced the Shekinah glory. But I'm sure that night in Bethlehem, the shepherds experienced that glory. And peace. Who receives the peace? Christmas doesn't bring peace to everyone, does it? It says, with whom he is pleased. In order to experience the peace of God, we must put our faith in the promises of God. Paul said in Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Then back in verses 15 and 16 of Luke 2, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Philip Brooks, who wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem shortly after visiting in 1864, said, "The angels leave and the shepherds seem to just stand there looking at each other." The shepherds didn't write a song like Mary. They didn't need a star. They didn't need to consult with King Herod. They didn't shop for gifts. They didn't get lost or have to ask for directions. They went straight to Bethlehem and found Jesus. Spurgeon said it often happens while shepherds find Christ. Wise men often miss him. The shepherds were the first to preach the gospel in verses 17 to 20. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Having an encounter with the newborn king, these shepherds had the same reaction as the apostles in Acts 4:20. When instructed to stop spreading the gospel, they responded, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Don't miss out on the Christmas blessing this year. He was a humble workman. With the tools with which he wrought. And he built a common stable, or so it was, he thought. And he fashioned there a manger where the cattle could be fed, never thinking that the Savior would pillow there his head. Had he only built a stable with a manger in the stall, yet it cradled there the Christ child, who is King and Lord of all. So although our task be humble, let us work each day with care, for we may not know God's purpose or why he places us there. For the manger that formed the cradle of our Lord and Savior here was built by a humble workman in Bethlehem of Judea. Poem by Henry Knox. We need to be more like those shepherds. They heard, they believed, and they preached. In December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled, they telegraphed this message to their sister, Catherine. "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it and said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news. Man had flown. Don't miss the big news of Christmas. It's all about Jesus. And I remind you again that if you have never made that commitment to him, if you've never given him your life or asked him for the forgiveness of your sin, go to the Lord Jesus and pray. It's in your bulletin. You don't have to pray it here, although that would be nice. You can pray it at home. If you dare, you can wait till Christmas Eve. or Christmas morning, so you can remember forever when you prayed it. But pray, Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you into my life as Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Father, we thank you today for Jesus. We thank you for his birth, his death, his resurrection and ascension. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in heaven. We thank you for your presence in the heart of every believer who is here this morning. Help us, Father, to focus on who you are as we celebrate your birth this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.